Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, in honor of the holidays, a special Hall of Fame cast of our Basics of Calendar Management, which is originally a two-part cast, but we've made it into one for your listening convenience. Learn how to handle your calendar. It's not just a place where you put down meetings you've been invited to. Here we go.
Well, welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the Basics of Calendar Management, part one of two. Hi everyone, this is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. During today's cast, we describe the first of our recommendations about calendar management. Now, we spend a lot of time talking to executive clients about how they spend their time and how they manage their priorities through their calendars. Now, several times over the past couple of years, we've talked about how when we start coaching an executive, we ask for two things almost immediately. First, an accounting of what they consider their priorities, and second, a printout of their calendar. Now, you gotta guess where this is going, right? They almost never match, except with CEOs and COOs. Now, how do you think they got there? Well, if you're thinking manager, you're not asking why, but rather, what can I do to avoid that? Well, there are a few simple rules that get the most effective executives, thanks to Mr. Peter Drucker, started off well, and they start with thinking a week at a time. Here we go, folks. I was just thinking the other day about how many times we've caught ourselves saying time management and then immediately, I mean priority management.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a billion times for me. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, at least a billion for me. But, you know, it's really easy to slip into that phrase. We hear it so
all
often
yep.
That we start using it in our vernacular. And, of course, there's a real danger. The more you say it, then you start believing it. And,
right.
You know, as you know, we're constantly saying time doesn't respond really well to management. It's been it's got along for millions of years perfectly fine by itself.
Every once in a while, I listen to one of our podcasts and I hear a phrase that we use that you and I take for granted. I think, gosh, how do people tolerate us sometimes? I mean, technically, it is accurate to say there's no such thing as time management. But it's almost, I don't know, it would be a little bit irritating. I find myself saying it an awful lot. And on the other hand, that's one reason why we love getting things done so much, GTD. David Allen talks about managing the work, about wrestling with priorities and going through one's inbox. Even though whenever anybody asks me about time management, I say David Allen and getting things done, right? I think we did that last week.
We love David Allen, both of us. So I would never say anything negative about David.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But Peter Drucker was really way ahead of his time there.
Yeah. And what Drucker said, I think Drucker and Allen basically agree. Allen says, look, do the work. He doesn't, I mean, people talk about getting things done as a time management tool, but it's not a time management tool. It is to most people. It's just a label they're applying to it. It's a work management tool. It's very, very effective. We love it. But Drucker basically said, look, the second chapter of The Effective Executive is called Know Thy Time. And he suggests we start with a survey of how we spend our time and then make sure the right things are being done when we're working. Because he says, look, the definition of effective is almost the same. Effect is almost the same as execute, which is to make things happen. And the question is, what are the right things? So he suggested measuring how one spends one's time, but he doesn't say you should manage time. He simply says you should be clear about what priorities you're doing in the time that you have, because man is all done and never really started manufacturing time.
So. Right. And we've already done a cast on measuring one's use of time, and
right,
it'd be well
right.
worth it for folks here to go and do that. But that's not what this cast is all about. So we're going to today going to talk about the week, and I say week, of an effective executive.
Yep, that's right.
And let me make one additional point there. And I don't know, you can tell me how you feel about this, but from a Drucker sense, almost everybody listening to our podcast right now is an executive, whether they be a manager
or
an executive kind of in today's term, or even in a lot of cases, individual contributors who are doing a lot of knowledge work.
Right. Drucker's definition of an executive, I think there are people who think of it as being senior people in large organizations, but Drucker would argue that. When we say executive, particularly in this situation, we're really talking about people who are either knowledge workers or who use creativity, innovation, and so on. In other words, not physical labor in order to produce results. So you're right. Executive here really has a very, very broad context.
Exactly. Okay. So since we're talking about time or priorities here, let's respect our listeners' time and get right to it. So how are we going to go through this?
Okay. Five recommendations. Very simple, very straightforward. A couple will surprise people, and they are, number one, family comes first. Everybody misses this one. Everybody misses it.
Yeah, everybody. I'm sure everybody's shocked that you said that. But
yeah. Yeah, we work, you and I are both known, we work very, very hard, and family comes first. Number two, schedule time for email. Number three, nail down your strategic objectives in your calendar. Number four, block out one-on-ones. You got to get those done. And number five, network building lunch.
Excellent. Okay, five things. So let's talk about the first thing. What's our guidance about family?
Yeah, I really do.
We don't want to talk about family planning here, but let's talk about time and family.
Right. Now we know people really are shocked, right?
Right.
I think people are shocked a little bit. I think very few people would profess to be shocked, but many would admit right now that they didn't expect it to be our first recommendation. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think when the vast majority of managers think about time and priority management, their first tool is more, right? More time at the office, more time spent working at home, more multitasking, although they can't do that. You know, doing work while they're cooking dinner with their wife, for example, or husband, you know, more email late at night. And as we've alluded to in our Juggling Cone podcast, more is very, very rarely the answer here.
Yeah. I think when you start talking about priority and time management, and certainly time management, people say, well, I want more time. It's like, and Bill Gates even said once, I wouldn't gamble for more money. I'd gamble for more time. I'd be happy to bet $1 billion on, you know, having an extra week or two, to get more stuff done. But you're right. More is the big fat word in managers' heads, I think, when it comes to time and priorities. We understand it, right? It'd be great. But it doesn't make much sense to want more time to try to get more done when everybody complains already about working too much. And boy, that certainly is a refrain we hear a lot.
Well, yeah, it goes back to the whole definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, which is how people have attacked this problem for a long time.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I think that as people grow in their jobs, they think, well, I'm just supposed to do more. And you could almost make a case, an alien coming down looking would say, gosh, it seems pretty clear you guys get paid by the hour, because the more, except at the very, very top, like chairman and CEOs, because everybody just, when they get a bigger job, they think, well, I should do more. I should work more. I should have more time. I should do more email. And it is simply wrongheaded. And if you've been in a larger organization, even small to mid-sized organization, but let's say not a five-person organization, and every time the organization has grown, you've done more, and you're still frustrated, then that'll prove to you what, you know, the definition of insanity is, Mike says. So, okay, look, but before we go any further, we get into the family first piece. Let's be clear here about what we're doing with this cast. We've observed many, many executives, those who effectively manage their priorities into their limited time, and those that try everything and never get anywhere or are always distracted, always get some stuff done, right? Everybody's always getting some work done, but the issue is not the big stuff. And we've learned that while there is value in thinking about each day, in fact, I want to say Dale Carnegie wrote a book called Stop Worrying and Start Living. And chapter 1, 2, or 3, one of them was Live Your Life in Watertight Compartments, seeing each day as a watertight compartment. Look, I can't go back and retry yesterday, right? Yesterday's done. Put it to bed. Any feelings you have about yesterday are probably wasted unless you're going to apply them differentially in the future. So even though there is value in thinking about each day, and they certainly lay out well on the calendar, thinking about managing your priorities a week at a time, as opposed to daily, is the most effective way we've seen to help you stay strategic while still getting stuff done, day-to-day stuff, and therefore be effective.
Most managers think in days, right?
But they end up
trying to schedule way too tightly, and then things break down once they start not to follow their own calendar, right?
Just like last week, didn't we have somebody say, "Oh yeah, I'm triple scheduled"? Talk about a big fat joke, right? I think I actually told a client once, I may have told more than one client, you're not the president of the United States. The president doesn't get triple scheduled.
You told every client that.
Right? I'm sorry, you're not that important. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then on the other hand, you have some managers and executives who think it makes sense to think in months. But there's just too much to get done. And we find that day-to-day crises keep these folks from staying on track. The gap between the day in which the work gets done and the month in which they're thinking about their work,
yes,
it's just too big a gap. You can't keep everything in your head well enough to handle all those daily distractions and changes.
Yep. That's a great way of putting it. The gap between where you're actually doing your work, which is today and feels like today, and the month, which is how you think about your time. I have a friend, and we were talking, and I said, this is important. Let's remember this snapshot, right? That the idea to have a snapshot. Most managers think of a day as a larger snapshot, but you've got to be clear about your priorities. And if you make your priorities, if you try to arrange those over the course of a month, it's too far away from that snapshot. And good snapshots are priceless. If you do that well, if you manage each hour well, if you do well during the day, but you're trying to keep all that straight over the course of a month, you're right. The gap is too much. The doing versus the thinking about is too wide. The week is basically the measure of time that most effective executives, use that word executives broadly, that we know of, is what they use to connect their daily tasks, their efforts on a day-to-day basis on task sort of stuff, which is, it all boils down to tasks, the way they connect their daily tasks to their strategic priorities.
That was really good. So that bears repeating again, I think.
Well, then I'll repeat it. The week is the measure of time that most effective executives and managers use to connect their daily tasks, because that's what this all boils down to, it's tasks. It's what they use to connect their daily tasks with their strategic priorities.
Yeah, good. Okay, so now let's get back to the family first point.
Right, okay. So within the construct of a week, thinking about if I have a block of time that I'm going to be making sure that my big stuff gets done, rather than thinking in days, which is too small a window, and rather than thinking strategically in months, which is too big to keep it all in your head, we've got this week in our head. Once you accept a week as the playing field, if you will, then you're saying, okay, how do I manage that week, my priorities within that week? So the week accurately represents where I'm going and what I'm doing. In other words, Could a consultant, could Mark or Mike come take a look at my week's schedule and say, aha, that's a good snapshot. There's a snapshot that really encapsulates what I want to see long term in this relationship, particularly if we're talking about, a boss as opposed to a consultant looking at the situation. A day is too short. A month is too long. That week really gives us enough to hold on to. Okay. So, when we say family first, it's not unusual for me to get a very funny look from executives. It's disappointing how many folks miss this. But let's do this. And we've been dancing around a little bit. In the interest of bottom line up front, here's our recommendation. You schedule time for your family, with your family first. It is the first thing you do when you look at every week. We'll talk specifically about how to do that in just a second, but let's understand the rationale behind it. Okay. your family is more important than work. Everybody says that. It's a joke when we ask the question of a small group that we're coaching or a larger group that we're training. Everybody agrees family's more important than work. Fine, great, okay, whatever. Okay. Rather than applying the concept of giving the right amount of time to the right priorities only at work, right? We recommend applying the principle to the boundary between work and family. The whole idea of more that we were talking about a little bit ago is almost, in my opinion, a weapon against families. We don't need to go all the reasons why, but somehow the safety valve when we say more work is just stepping on family time. But basically, all of us know it. It's one of the reasons all of us complain about it, or so many people complain about it. It's penny wise and pound foolish. You might get more work done that day, but you're eroding something that will essentially cut your dividends long term. We ask groups we're working with every single time how many of them value family more than work. Everyone says they do, but unfortunately, behavior is believable. And what's believable is that if I'm an alien, if I'm a consultant and I'm looking at the schedule, I'm saying, gosh, it's pretty clear family takes second place to work. Not first, but second.
Yeah. Too many managers and executives live as if their family comes second because they're always willing to take time away from the family by working longer hours or doing email late or constantly checking email and voicemail, leading to attention attenuation, which is a relationship drag if there ever was one.
Yep, exactly. So look, if you're going to say and believe and then really live, if you say and believe it, but you don't live it, then you really don't believe it. You could say it all day long. But if you're going to live the family first concept, you've got to get that first priority, your family, reflected in your calendar every day. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to suggest, I think there are people out there right now, Mike, who are worried about, what about my nightly email bits?
Right.
Okay. We're not going to suggest, folks, that everyone stop checking mail every night. Oh, we think it's a good idea, but we know what will work and what won't work. We know that many of you simply won't do that, stop checking email at night. And frankly, we don't see that as the problem anyway. That's not the root. What we're going to recommend is an action that is based on the root cause of that behavior.
Right. Sloppy scheduling and lack of respect for time and priorities.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Yeah, that's the reason why people are doing email late at night is because they're not being crisp about scheduling and they don't respect their priorities relative to the limited time that they're that everybody's given, not just them, but everybody. The reason so many people are checking is because they see the entire day, 24 hours, as a work day. They think of work as happening always, and so they're always working. Look, we're not going to dispute at all that work is happening always, the global nature of things and so on, the business world never sleeps, blah, 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 great. Speed is a competitive advantage. Making decisions more quickly is a competitive advantage. But so are intelligent decisions a competitive advantage. Happy family life in the long run is a competitive advantage. And creativity that comes from time spent thinking about and doing other things is also a competitive advantage for most organizations.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. Okay, so what does all this mean, though?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we're putting a little. It's all good stuff, and yet I feel like we're getting away from the recommendation. It means that the first rule of effective calendaring is, if family in fact comes first, and everybody says it does, is that you set a daily stop time to go home every day of the week. You and your spouse agree on it every Sunday. In other words, the family's schedule for the week is on the table when you are looking at your upcoming week and you are talking to your spouse about what nights when you'll be home. 6 o'clock this night, 5:30 that night, 7 o'clock that night. Hey, this one night, it's going to be 9 o'clock. We've got a big meeting that's going to start at 6. It may take 2 hours. The guy who runs it is really sloppy. I may not be home till 9 o'clock. And quite frankly, I say that and people are like, wait, this sounds like family is not first. If you, in fact, set a stop time of 5:30 or 6, we'll talk about the benefits of that in just a minute. If you then say, one night I'm going to be late, I suspect in 95% of the cases, oh, I'm overstating that, I don't know what the percentage is, but in a lot of the cases, folks, that 9 o'clock night is not a problem. But if there's no stop time any night that week, and then there's a 9 o'clock night, then you have problems at home, in our experience. What this does, having a daily stop time, knowing when you're leaving, essentially creating an appointment at home, is it limits your work time, which is opposed to what most managers do, which is to limit family time by leaving the end of their day open. And what we've learned is, from working with executives and watching managers on videotape at 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 o'clock at night, is leaving the end of the day open has not one, but two, in our opinion, big negative consequences. First, it allows us to slide work into the evening. And because, folks, I'm sorry, I know I'm the only person, we're the only people in the world saying this, but we really can't multitask. Every moment we spend working in the evenings is, by definition, time not spent with your family. Okay? But the second one, and I think this is a huge plus for this manager tool, starting doing this, of setting an end time, of a going home time, is that it makes us much more efficient during our day. When we leave the end of our day open, we're much more likely to get sloppy about how we spend those last 10 minutes or those last 2 hours at work. We put off stuff that we ought to be doing earlier.
Yeah, to me, this is so, so simple. Just live your statement about family coming first and then put their time, your family's time, on the calendar first.
Yep.
You know, it'll make for a richer family life and it'll make you better at work. That's nothing wrong with that.
Right, exactly.
And you know, the effective executives we know who do this are notably more effective, and to boot, they're happier about it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, no brainer. Right.
What about scheduling time for email?
Yeah, I just want to mention one more point before we go on to email. I can't tell you the number of times I've been working with an executive and he knows or she knows that I'm looking at their schedule and we miss something. They say, I'll get to that at 5 o'clock. And I don't say anything about it, but I make a note of the things that they've said they're going to do at the end of the day, that end of the day bucket. And one of two things happens at the end of the day. They don't do it. And it was important enough to go on their calendar. And if you're making more than $100,000 a year, if it's important enough to go on your calendar, it's not trivial stuff. Assuming you're making reasonably good choices, and that's a whole nother cast about prayer, what your priorities should be, other than family. But it either doesn't get done at all, or it gets done poorly. And what's more, in either of those cases, you have a high likelihood that you carry around frustration that you didn't get it done. You carry around angst that it's not being done, and you carry that angst home to your family. So we recommend a stop time.
Yeah, but, that situation is equivalent of having a meeting scheduled at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and saying, and missing something earlier in the morning. Say, okay, I'll do that at 3.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll do that at 3. You wouldn't treat a meeting with your boss or a meeting with your directs the same way you now currently treat meetings with your family, which is what your stop time is.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And as many managers as there are in the world who have made airplane flights for their vacation, who have made it home in time to be a little league coach or for a church or synagogue service or for a family dinner or for a birthday party, as many people as there are who have done that, it makes me feel very comfortable in saying you can't tell us we're wrong. I mean, you can do it. We're just sloppy about things during the day. Our inefficiency during the day hurts our family and makes us ineffective because we waste time during the day that, had we used that time wisely, we would have been much more effective focusing on doing the right things.
Yeah, of course, there's another option, which is a good friend of mine, and you know him as well. We'll go home and simply take care of this by calling a meeting with his family saying, I just want to be upfront with you all. You're my second priority.
Yeah. just be clear.
Okay. Yeah. So what about email? Well, folks, we'll end it there and we'll finish this up next week. Before we go, though, I've gotten a couple questions about our next U.S.-based Effective Manager Conference. Well, I'm pleased to say that we've concluded the negotiations with the hotel, and we're going to have our next U.S. conference in Chicago, March 25th and 26th, at the Westin O'Hare. March 25th and 26th in Chicago at the Westin O'Hare. I don't have the registration site open yet, but we will in the next week or two. So given that we spent some time focusing on calendar management today, this might be a good time to block it out on your calendar on the March 25th and 26th. All right, folks, until next week, this is so long. Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the basics of calendar management, part two. Hi, everyone. This is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. Today, Mark and I conclude our conversation on calendar management. Last week, we covered some basics of calendar management, the most important of which was that effective managers think about managing their priorities a week at a time. Thinking in terms of weeks is the most effective way to stay strategic and therefore effective. And then we covered our first and perhaps most surprising point, given that we're all about being effective managers here, family first. Pretty simple in practice. Schedule time for your family and on your calendar first, and then meet that commitment, just like any other of your priorities on your calendar. Now this week, we cover our remaining points relative to managing your calendar. Schedule time for email, nail down your strategic objectives and to put them on your calendar, block out one-on-ones, no surprise here, right? And schedule time for weekly network building lunch. So, here we go. Okay, so what about email?
Yeah, okay. Look, we've really already covered email in terms of handling it on a day-to-day basis in a cast a while ago. We talked about email doing email only three times a day, in the morning, early. Not necessarily first thing, but in fact, many people, I recommend that in terms of what else they could do right away. Some people do it before they get to work. We don't recommend doing it while you're eating breakfast with your family and then in the car while you're having an accident. But anyway, morning, lunch, and then again before going home. In this case, in this cast, we're simply saying, do not let email ooze out into everything you do. In other words, you're constantly doing email. It's this low-grade fever that you've got all day that you're always having to get to it. It fills up all the interstitial spaces, so to speak. Don't let it ooze out into everything you do so that it makes you inefficient and ineffective at everything all the time. Part of this is that, and I think I've talked about this before, Mike, email was invented after many of us learned a lot of our work habits. There are young people who email was invented after they were born and or invented before they were born, and so they grew up with it. But they grew up learning email in a non-professional setting, and the combination of email and IM and so on. People are grossly inefficient and ineffective with email. We have added it to our work lives, and we have done so poorly.
So people are bad at doing email. They haven't learned it. So what are our recommendations relative to email?
It's simple. You put time on your calendar three times a day, every day, to do email, and you only do email during those times. I'm going to say that again. You put time to do email on your calendar three times a day so that everybody can see it. You're not trying to hide from anybody, and you only do email during those times. There is no such thing as an urgent email. I promise you, your colleagues will adjust to your change. We promise you they will.
Now, well, we just recently had a chief operating officer client of ours who just recently implemented this, right? And he sent out an email to his folks or called them up and said,
yeah,
look, I'm doing email three times a day. This is when I'm doing it. That's it. You need something urgent?
Yep.
You're going to have to call me. And guess what?
Yep.
People got over it.
Yep. You will suddenly, you start doing this, and you essentially, you know, house the ooze, so to speak, and say, no, I'm not going to do email in the middle of the day, in the morning and in the afternoon. You'll suddenly have all kinds of times for all kinds of other more important work. Look, who puts on their annual review, I got through all my email this year? In fact, people say they've got a lot of email, and then they make it worse by saying, I've got so much, I can't do it. Right? It's like, God, heaven forbid we actually start requiring people to do all their email. But more importantly, you'll have time to do the real work that you're paid for, and you're not paid to do email. You will be so much more efficient, and this is really what I see as the underlying beauty of it. In much the same way that family first, the underlying beauty is when you say you're going home at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, that hard stop time makes you better before 6 o'clock. If you don't have the hard stop time, everything all day gets infected in a way that weakness gets oozed out throughout the day. By the same token with email, the real benefit is that you will do all of your mail in less time because you have a stop time. You say, I got to get through all of my email in 45 minutes. And people, managers make different choices about what they're going to do with email. They start using rules more. Of course, that's in a separate cast. They start ignoring things that they really can't do anything about. They start ignoring CCs and so on. It is incredible the stories we hear from managers about what this does to their work life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can tell you from personal experience how fundamentally important that point is.
But let's also be frank. You come from a very technical organization where email was the lingua franca, and there was a chance that you could miss something at 10 in the morning that was hot all of a sudden and you needed to weigh in. But I'll tell you, the benefit that periodic benefit is far outweighed by saying I'm only going to do it three times a day because I don't want to be in pain every day, all day, on the off chance that I can avoid one chance that there's an urgent string of emails going around. And I might get caught flat-footed without knowing about it. I got to tell you, if there's an urgent string of emails going around, it is in everybody's discussions. You're getting IM'd, you're getting phone calls, you're getting face-to-face conversations, you're getting voicemails, everything, and you're going to go back to your computer if it's that bad. And you're going to discover that there aren't as many of those as you think they are, as you think there are, and you're going to be much more effective all day because of it. I even tell people, look, turn off the action that causes your client, your Outlook, if you will, for the vast majority of folks, that grabs mail from the server. Turn it off and say, I don't want mail until I tell you I want it, and then click the button and start downloading mail, and then work through that downloaded mail.
Yeah, and by all means, turn off the little ding or the little toast that pops up when you get email.
Have we talked about this in a cast?
I'm sure we have, the whole concept of email toast podcast. I'm sure, but folks, without turning this into an email, and we could turn this into an email cast very easily, is just, you know, if you want to do one thing, to stop that little dinging that goes off every time you have an email. I'm sure she's listening to this podcast, so I hesitate to say it, but we have an executive client of ours who used to, no longer, based on our advice, used to have IMs going off in the background all day long, like literally every 35 to 40 seconds.
Yeah, talk about attenuation of attention.
Oh God. So okay.
Here's the interesting thing about that. And then she told her staff that's the best way to get in touch with me.
Yeah, that was in front
of us.
Which
just accelerated the hey, let's go 100 miles an hour over the cliff, not 25. Yeah,
we were talking. Yeah, that was funny. She had all her senior managers and managers in the room, and we were talking about communication styles. And she started to tell the group that IM was the best way to get a hold of her. So we said, stop.
There were two narrowly averted cardiac arrests.
Yeah, yours and mine.
We're standing in front of. No, really, you didn't just say that. Please tell us you didn't just say that. Okay.
So let's go on to our next point. What about time for strategic objectives?
Yeah, look, really here, we're just keeping with our theme. This is where some smart people start when it comes to calendaring, and we just have it third. Clearly, family has to come first. If family doesn't come first, I don't care how efficient you are with your 10-hour days, pretty soon you're not going to have a family. And if you really do say that family is more important, then you getting a divorce or you being estranged from your family is not a win, even if you get promoted. That's getting a divorce for promotion is not a win. That's not a good balance of payments, folks. Okay, so clearly family has to come first. And we've learned not to get between people in their emails. So we recommended email number two because we want to make everybody feel okay about email. We're going to talk about your little addiction and then we're going to let it go. Really, though, number three is the strategic objectives, which the whole purpose of thinking about a week is giving you enough space that you can actually spend time on your strategic objectives. The two most important things affected by or affecting a manager's time ought to come first, and so that's why we talk about family and email. But this number three one is big. Put time on your calendar twice a week for your key strategic objectives.
Yeah. Yeah, and we recommend Monday afternoon and Wednesday mornings as a general rule, but although we recommend that, it's more important just to get the time in there. You know, 3 hours broken into two 90-minute appointments. Our experience says that works pretty well. It's not inviolable that folks choose Monday and Wednesday, but we do have our reasons.
Right. Look, sure, it can't be Monday morning. There are too many detractors, sadly. But you've got to make headway early in your week and give yourself a chance to check on progress again later in the week. What we mean by strategic objectives here, let's just be clear about that, are the key quarterly or annual deliverables and goals you've committed to. What you're going to spend during the, what you're going to do during this time is it might be time to plan. It might be time to have a meeting. It might be time for you to do your individual work analysis or writing or whatever. It might be preparing a report for your boss reporting on your progress for the end of the quarter. Monday and Wednesday are designed to get you started, to remind you of what your objectives are, and then to follow up about what you've been doing and what the status of various emails and phone calls and so on is.
But the whole key of this recommendation is to set standing meetings for yourself twice a week to ensure that you make progress every week. You know, we're talking about weeks, every week on your key deliverables and major initiatives.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we have clients that set objectives in December and never return to them. And then they look at them at the end of the year and go, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get graded on these things that I said I would do.
Yeah, like November 20th.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Look, if you do it this way, you'll never have a doubt about that. So look, a great way of thinking about this one, and really great way of thinking about all of our recommendations for calendaring, is what our friend Eldon Schaefer showed his staff with what they call the Big Rocks Theory. Many people have heard about the Big Rocks Theory. And yes, Eldon, we know you're humble and you didn't invent it. But the Big Rocks exercise is a powerful one for people to see if they've never seen it. You basically make time for the most important things. You don't create more time. Nobody does that to enable to get more things done. You don't multitask, if you will. You simply put the big things in first and you force out the small things. And so some small things don't get done. And I think we've said before in several venues and perhaps on the podcast several times, Mike, that everybody leaves work every day with work undone. We've been doing it for years. Some of us are getting promoted, some of us are not. Doesn't matter. The fact is, it's endemic. Work is getting undone. It seems to me the only question is, what work is going to be undone? The work you want undone is the small stuff, the one that if you get in big trouble for something small, you think your boss is an idiot. You're not. You know if it's something big that's undone, that's what gives you trepidation at the end of the year. So get the big things done. If you're going to get in trouble for a small thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now, next is block out time for one-on-ones. Now, this is huge.
Yeah. Do you think we need to spend a lot of time on this one? You're a manager, right?
Do you think we need to? I mean, we've been talking to managers for years,
touch on
and
it.
Guess what? They
nothing,
don't do it.
Nothing wrong with a reminder about the most important thing that managers do. You're a manager. You have directs. The single most valuable enabler of your direct's effectiveness on your calendar is your one-on-one time with them every week. Yeah, for those of you who have never done them, we know you don't want to, that your people don't need it. You talk to them all the time. Okay, but that doesn't make any less right.
Yes.
We urge you to listen to our cast on one-on-ones. We consider O3s or one-on-ones to be the most important activity managers engage in, and it is therefore the number one manager tool of all time. Spending the half hours that you're going to spend with your directs, even if you have 15 of them, and that seems like a lot every week, you know, 7.5 hours of one-on-ones, you will get back that time and more by having a more effective, more efficient team of direct reports. You'll know more. They'll know more. You'll have less wasted effort, more teamwork, and better results overall.
Yeah. And this is a case where I am going to consciously choose to beat a dead horse.
Okay, good.
Listen, folks, we have a lot of tools on our site that you can choose to use them or not use them. And if you don't use them, you'll be less effective in that narrow area. But
right,
the rest of your management practices aren't going to suffer.
Necessarily, right.
That's not one of those tools. If
right.
you don't do one-on-ones, every other management practice you engage in is going to suffer. Everyone.
Yep.
Okay.
It's right. It's exactly right. It is the biggest lever What managers have? What did Archimedes say? Give me a place to stand on a lever, and I can move the earth. Right.
Exactly.
This is that lever. This is that Archimedic principle of leverage.
Yeah. And given that, then you have to. It's a priority, and you have to schedule it and put it on your calendar. That's this point.
And if you're wondering how to do that, we've got 3 or 4 podcasts on one-on-one specifically.
Good. Okay. And finally, we recommend that managers have a weekly network building lunch, not networking, a building
right,
network
we don't,
lunch.
Yeah, we're not schmoozing, folks. Yeah. Look, this is analogous to our leaving in our one-on-ones the concept of 10-10-10, 10 for the direct, 10 for the manager, and 10 for the future versus simply making it 15-15, 15 for the direct and 15 for the manager. That last 10 minutes in the theory of one-on-ones exists to remind us of the need to visit about the future with our directs periodically when that 10 minutes makes itself available to us. We find that if it's not on the schedule, it doesn't happen in an effective way. We believe that one of the most valuable and easy things to do regarding career management in today's world wasn't true 20 years ago, may not be true 20, 30 years from now, although I think it will be. We believe one of the most valuable and easy things to do is building a strong network, both internal and external to your present firm or your employer. Yeah, you're going to have some cancellations and some misses if you schedule. We're talking about once a week, one day a week, any day, doesn't matter. You're going to have lunch with somebody to reconnect, to touch base with someone who is either in that you want to keep in or somebody who's out and you want to bring into your network. So, you know, someone who takes just one of their lunches each week, we're talking about 20%. That's all. One lunch a week, you get 30 or 40 network building opportunities each year. That person, after a year or two, ends up with a great network. And that network is what you lean on during a layoff, during a termination, during an opportunity to grow your skills or your abilities or the opportunity to really make a huge leap forward in your career.
Yeah. And if you're in marketing or sales, you probably don't need our encouragement to do this because you're doing it anyway. Matter of fact, you'd prefer to do this than your other work, your work gets you paid. But if you're an engineer, an IT, finance, pay attention to this one and just do it, even though it feels uncomfortable. And you think that you're going to be more effective by sitting at your desk during lunch and getting more real work done. Just one day a week, please do this.
Yeah, it's a bit like saying, you know, we didn't say it would be fun. We didn't say you like it. Quite frankly, we don't care whether you like it. It works. It's the right thing. It's the most effective way to use your time regarding your career management. Getting another degree is not the most effective way for the vast majority of you.
Yeah.
And look, again, it doesn't have to be any particular day. Different days work better for different people. And look, we don't mean to mislead you about scheduling them. You don't schedule them on Friday night. You don't call somebody on Monday for a thing on Tuesday. You try to stay a week or two ahead. If you miss a week, it's not the end of the world. But in your head, the idea is this week I've got, this time management tool of looking at a week and closing off my work time because I'm going to put my family first every night of the week. And I'm not just going to try to work on the weekends, try to spend time with my family on the weekends. It doesn't work. Kids and spouses don't respond well to that kind of reinforcement. If you think about it in the week, you've got to have your strategic priorities in there. You've got to have time for email. We understand that. You've got to have time for one-on-ones, and you've got to have time for your career. And the simplest tool to get to the career management piece is the network building, and that's why we recommend a lunch.
Great. Good summary. Thanks, my friend.
My pleasure, sir.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. All right, there you go. The basics of calendar management. Now, rest assured, we're going to have more to say on this in the future, that's for sure. But for now, you have the basics. Now, the hard part, though. Go practice them. By the way, if you're a new listener and not aware of our special members-only podcast, go to our website and sign up. It's free, and you get access to an additional free podcast each month. In addition, the members-only RSS feed contains all the podcasts, all the monthly cast, and all the weekly cast going back to July of 2005. All in one convenient feed. Details are on the website at www.managertools.com. So with that, until next week, so long, folks.